Our scripture this morning is Psalm 34, which the elders have selected for this year's Heis Bezuk. A psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drave him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Ho, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Our text of the first three verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word again this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you noticed from the superscription of this psalm, it tells us at what occasion this psalm was composed. It was when David had changed his behavior before Abimelech, the king of Gath. And you can find that, maybe you want to read it this afternoon, that passage, 1 Samuel chapter 21. David, seeking refuge from King Saul. And how does he do it? He goes to the Philistine territory. But he couldn't remain there very long, could he? Because it would only be a matter of time before they recognize him for who he was, a dangerous warrior and an enemy of the Philistines. The maidens asked the question. The song of those maidens about David, Saul hath killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. So David becomes very afraid for his life. But he lost sight of God, and he only saw Achish, the king, the wicked king of Gath. Psalm 34 reflects that misgiving of David. In verse 4, David speaks about troubles and fears. And we can be sure that David was very afraid. Sitting there in that Philistine camp, he cries out to God to help him, to save him. And David found a way. He acts as if he was insane. He scratches there at the walls of the city. And he's drooling out of his mouth, the drool running down his beard. The result, King Achish grumbles to his servants, "Do we need more crazies here in town? Get rid of them." And so David flees to the cave of Adullam, and there his kinsmen and a host of stragglers come to him, and then he becomes their captain. So the history of this psalm is David was in trouble and he cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And if we look at Psalm 34, you'll notice there's two divisions. In the first 10 verses of that psalm, we have a song of praise. But then beginning with verse 11, he has a sermon there. David's experience at Gath, he's going to use as a means now to teach his companions the way of God's deliverance. Don't rest in yourselves, but look up. Look up and trust the Lord. He will give deliverance. So we could entitle this psalm, Praise and Trust. But I also want this morning, in my second point of the sermon, to point out when this praise must be and this trust must be to our God. So therefore, the title is Praising God at All Times. Praising God at all times. Notice, first of all, the resolution that David makes. Notice, second of all, when this is to be carried out. And then thirdly, the fruitful deliverance experienced. Let's begin with the resolution made. David says, I will bless the Lord. Let's look at that resolution. It begins with those two words, I will. That means David personally is going to do this. He has determined he's going to do this. He is resolved he's going to do this. He is fixed upon this resolution. Nothing can change his mind. He is personally, for himself, determined he will praise the Lord. In other words, let others do as they may, but in his mind, he knows. In his heart, he is inflamed. He knows to whom he's going to give this praise. He knows what is due. He knows for what this praise is due. And when this praise is due. To Jehovah alone. You'll notice that word, Lord, is all in capital letters. That's the covenant name of God, who is self-sufficient, eternal, and our covenant God. A covenant God who cares for his children, who protects and saves his children, whose ears are open to their cries. To Jehovah alone. Notice he is not going to point to his own cunning. He's not thinking, boy, I was pretty smart there, acting crazy so that Achish would let me go. No, he was not smart. No, he did not handle it very well. In fact, he was really foolish, wasn't he? Instead of trusting in God, David had run from one enemy, King Saul, right into the hands of a greater enemy, the Philistines. Those Philistines whose giant Goliath he had killed as a young man, and then 10,000s more. I will praise the Lord, Jehovah. Let others do as they will. But David makes the resolve, I will praise Jehovah. I want you to notice that statement is much like Joshua's statement in Joshua 24, verse 15. When he challenged Israel, who are you going to serve? We read there in Joshua 24, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, says Joshua, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a resolution. I will praise the Lord. Is that your resolve? Is that my resolve? In all circumstances and trials and afflictions, at all times, I will bless the Lord. The elders will ask that question this week. Now, what is it to bless the Lord? We all know that God blesses us. He blesses us with multitude of blessings, doesn't he? But what does it mean that we will bless the Lord? And there's many psalms that use that language, aren't there? The very familiar Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So what does it mean that we will bless the Lord? To bless means that you speak good words. It means that you speak comfortable words about a person and to a person. It means that you will utter beautiful words about a person and to a person. Our English word eulogy is derived from the Greek word to bless. It means to speak a good word about a person. So, in our psalm, David says, this is his resolve, I will speak the praises, I will speak the beauty, I will speak the power of, I will speak the glory of Jehovah. And this is going to be in my mouth forever. It is, beloved, what he feels in his heart. It is what he knows in his mind. But now, not only in the heart and in the mind, but now on his tongue, he will speak a good word about God and to his God. That, beloved, is the purpose of our creation, isn't it? God created us that we would glorify him, that we would speak good words about our God, our Maker. And that is exactly the purpose also for which God redeemed us. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now the purpose. That ye might show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the purpose of our redemption. That we may declare, show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And beloved, that is what we're going to do all the time in eternity in heaven. That's going to make us happy, praising and blessing our God. And that is the only occupation that makes for real happiness. Bless the Lord. Praise His name. Let your soul boast in the Lord, and you will be a happy person. We do this to God Himself in prayer and in song, and we do this before other people. That is, you encourage others of who God is and what He has done for us. That's why we started out our worship service with number 175 entitled Personal Testimony. Come all ye people, bless our God and tell His glorious praise abroad. Come hear all ye that fear the Lord, and I with grateful heart will record what God hath done for me. Yes, we speak beautiful things about our God, and we speak those beautiful things to others about our God. What God has done for me. That is David in the cave of Adullam. He had a motley group that surrounded him. When I say a motley group, it means there were there those who were in debt. There were those who were discontent. There were those there that were bitter. There were those in distress. And that's why, beginning at verse 11, he's going to speak beautiful words about God to teach those people that are given to him by God the way of happiness. So notice with me, not only is the resolve of David himself to bless the Lord, but also so that others are called to join him in blessing God, seeking and speaking beautiful things about and to our God. Verse 2 of our text, the humble will hear thereof and be glad. Yes, what a motley group there was there in that cave of Adullam. Not the ideal kind of citizens. They are the humble. Why is that important? They are not the proud. They are not those who think a lot about themselves. Because those who think a lot about themselves don't really have much need for God, do they? No, it is the humble. My soul will boast. Usually when we hear boasting, we're kind of grieved, aren't we? Let not us boast about ourselves and what we've done. David in the psalm is not boasting about what he had to do there in Gath. But when it's boasting about God and His goodness, that's quite a different matter, isn't it? By his boasting about God, those around him in the cave of Adullam are encouraged. They're consoled. And that means, beloved, that you and I ought to talk about God's goodness on purpose. On the purpose that others also may be confirmed in their trust in a very faithful God. God is held in greatness by those who know that they are little, sinful, and dependent. Do you know that? God is held as great, faithful, good by those who know that they are little and sinful and very dependent. It is a boasting, not in self, but boasting about our great God, His personal attributes, His marvelous works, His covenant promises. Oh, for a thousand things, He's a matched God. Where else can you find someone that compares with Him? Verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You see there, the people of God love to come together to praise God in unison. We read in the Bible during the time of Enos, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They came together to cry and to call unto God. And now let's take that time of Enos to our time that we're living in. We love to come to church so that we may praise God's name together. How we love it when we have choir singing. How we love when we have hymn sings. How we love it when our children have special programs at school, singing together. And I suppose the older that we get, the more that we love coming to church. Have you had it sometimes? You're sick? Yes, you can listen to the sermon audio. At least it's better than nothing. But it's not anything like being here with God's saints and joining our voices together to sing, is it? The elders will ask. I've asked already. One young child said no, but they'll ask, do you love coming to church? Is there eagerness in coming to church? Do you look forward during the week, and especially on Saturday, a day of joining God's saints in worship and in praise? Fourthly, under that first point, we need to ask the question, why? Why is there this strong resolution of David to speak of God? And for David, it was the knowledge of God's marvelous deliverance of him from the hands of his enemies. He was afraid. Notice verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And then verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. That Hebrew word for deliverance literally is to be snatched up from the brink of a precipice, from a hill, a great mountain. Remember, that's what the devil said to Christ. Throw yourself off here from the tower of the temple, this high precipice, and the Lord will catch you up in his arms. Now, of course, that was a temptation. We may not tempt the Lord. But David knew he was at the brink of that precipice, that the devil there with the king of Gath might throw him down, kill this enemy of the Philistines. But the Lord heard him and snatched him up from falling down to his death. The Lord heard his prayer and delivered him from all of his fears. There was the solution to the danger that David was in. What was the solution? We have it in verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord was right there in Gath. And in his providence used now this to get David out of that enemy hold that he was in. The angel of the Lord, this is a psalm I often use when I go to those who are sick or having surgery. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Whether it's you on a sick bed, or whether it's you standing by the graveside of a loved one taken away from you, or whatever trials or afflictions you're going through. It wasn't necessary for David to act like a fool. He should have relied upon his God, for the angel of the Lord is round about them, or encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Do you know that, beloved? Have you tasted that many times? Because that's the very next verse, isn't it? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. David, instead of trusting in himself, if I act like a fool, and I have the jewel coming down my beard, maybe I can get out of this. No, look up. Look up, because the angel of the Lord, none other than Christ Jesus Himself in the Old Testament, always near His saints. And it is that experience of that wonderful deliverance that awakens in David and that awakens in us, all of God's people, to share what the Lord has done for us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth Him. That'll be something that the elders will be asking you. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you tasted the Lord's marvelous deliverance of you from all enemies? What kind of enemies, you say? Yes, Saul. David had the enemy of King Saul and his army. David had the enemy of the Philistines. What enemies do you need to be delivered from? And boys and girls, from your catechism instruction, you know that we have three mortal enemies, don't we? The devil himself, who goes about like a roaring lion. A wicked world around us that will hate a child of God. And even worse, that enemy within our sinful flesh. Body and soul were sinful. And in all of our sins and all of our guilt, you and I taste and see that God is good because He delivers us by the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross. What a mighty deliverance, O saints! You who and I who are also terrible sinners, the Lord delivers us. He forgives us. He hears our prayer and He shows mercy upon us who really don't deserve it many times. We don't deserve it. But He does it for Christ's sake. Yes, the resolve of David, but all those who love the Lord, to speak good about our covenant God. It is the experience of that wonderful deliverance that awakes within you and me the desire to share it, to have a personal testimony, to say, this is what the Lord has done for me. Parents, grandparents, grab the opportunity. Speak to your children, speak to your grandchildren what the Lord has done for you. Taste and see that He is good. Trust in Him and be blessed. Fear Him and you'll have no wants. Yes, seek God in Christ Jesus. What a marvelous deliverance. The deliverance of David there in Gath is very small type of the great deliverance that we all have from our enemies and from our sin and our guilt in God in Christ Jesus. Share it, a personal testimony. You see, love is not narrow. You're not satisfied that you love the Lord for what He has done, but you want others also to love your God for what He does for all of His people. What a resolution. I will bless the Lord. And that brings me to my second point. When? At all times, and then continually. At all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Verse 1. That, beloved, means I will praise Him in every situation that I find myself in. I will praise Him in every circumstance of my life. I will praise Him before my trials. I will praise Him in my trials. And I will praise Him after my trials. I will praise Him in bright days, but also praise Him in dark days. At all times. Continually. In other words, we're never done praising and speaking good about and to our God. If I would make a comparison, I would go to Proverbs 31 about a husband and children. We read there of the good woman, the faithful woman, the saint. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Hopefully that's true. Maybe we can ask those questions also in house visitation. Husbands, are you speaking good things about your wife to her and about her to others? Children, are you also speaking good things about your mother to her? Thank you, Mom, this. Thank you, Mom, for that. This is really a good meal, Mom. And also to others about your mother. How often, perhaps, at times we like to grumble and complain about our wife or grumble and complain about our mothers and what they made us do and how they grounded us, etc., etc. I will praise Him at all times, continually. To God alone is our gratitude, not to self, not to our circumstances. Boy, I was lucky. No. To God who is in control. Here, David had sinned. He didn't trust God when King Saul and his armies were against him. He thought he had to use his own initiative and imagination what he should do. And so he goes right there into the greater enemies. Fold the Philistines. And then when he is in that terrible time, and he says, uh-oh, I'm in trouble here. He doesn't trust again in God him right away. No, what shall I do? Well, I'll act like I'm a little bit crazy. Drill down my beard, and I'll get out of it. David had sinned. He didn't trust God enough. Until he realized the great danger he's in, and then he cries, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. What a foolish, foolish, foolish man David was. And finally, by the Holy Spirit and God's word, he comes to his senses, and he cries to God. And what mercy of God. Oh, yes, the very word mercy tells us that we are helpless in ourselves. It tells us that we are sinful in ourselves, as was this case with David. But David looks to the Lord. In our sins, in our troubles, we will not rob God of His need to be honored by us. Just because our conscience justly condemns us for our shortcomings or our sins. Again, think of another illustration. Jonah. Jonah, who directly disobeyed the Lord, instead of going there to Nineveh, he took off the other way in a ship, trying to sail away from God. And when he is in the belly of the fish, then he cries out in dependence upon God to save him and thanks God for delivering him. So when should we have this resolve to praise and to bless God in every situation, under every circumstance, before trials, in trials, after trials, always, always speaking good about God and speaking good to God. Never satisfied that we've done enough in praising God, who is worthy always to be worshipped and to be praised and adored. Always we feel short of what the Lord deserves from us. Happy are we when our hearts and our minds are ready to declare with our mouths, sing God's goodness, to bless the Lord. It is never unseasonable. Continually our tongues are loosed to sing God's praise, to make known His glory. What a blessed mouthful is God's praise. Don't you find it so? How sweet, how purifying. What sweet perfume is there coming out of our mouths? Oh, that our mouths were always filled with praise of our God and to our God, and not in grumbling or complaining or being bitter. Oh, if we would roll this tasty morsel around our tongues and under our tongues, like candy or like chocolate, what a difference it'd make in our life. Then the bitterness of daily afflictions would be swallowed up in joy. Let me use another earthly illustration. In the olden days, when I was young, we would all have to stand in a line. And there Mom came with a spoon of cod liver oil that was supposed to be good for you. But immediately after giving the spoon of cod liver oil, we would be given a little mint to put in our mouth to take away the bad taste. Well, the praise of God on our lips is the same way when we're going through afflictions and trials and troubles. Oh, if only Israel in the wilderness, when they were grumbling and complaining about the heat and the manna that God gave and the lack of meat, would have been singing the praises of God that took them out of that land of Egypt where they were slaves and the baby boys were being put to death. Well, beloved, the same is true for you and me. Yes. We have trials and afflictions here on earth that the Lord brings us through, but He always works it for our good. We're told that. He averts many evils or uses it for our profit. If only when we're going through those afflictions, instead of grumbling and complaining, this isn't fair, and why, instead of being filled with self-pity, on our tongues, we would take this gratitude to God for what He is doing for us, who daily loadeth us with benefits. One author said, good thoughts in the closets, then good words in the world. Are we prepared each day to go out in the world by, first of all, being in our closets, reading God's Word and what He has all done for us in Christ Jesus, and then in the closet, taking that out, instead of grumbling and complaining about things in our life or others around us, speaking good words. There's a quote. It was not a godly person, but I'm going to change that quote a little bit. There was a quote by an author. This is an antidote to unhappiness. It's called gratitude. If you are busy giving thanks to God for what He has done for you and what He gives you, it is very hard to grumble and complain. There is gratitude then rather than self-pity. Do you have enough praise on your lips? Those words, at all times, continually. And then notice from the psalm, the next verse. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Well, that's so natural for us, isn't it? To boast. And if we boast about ourselves, it is indeed sinful. But if we're boasting about God, there's nothing that could be better. As we read the scriptures, there is no God like unto our God. So we have tongues that are not merely bragging, noticed, but it is, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It's a holy boasting in Jehovah, our covenant God. His person, his attributes, his covenant promises, his wonderful works. Boast. The beautiful spring weather outside, the colors in creation. Boast about your God. What an artist he is. What an eloquent book we have in creation given to us. Boast what he's done in your life. You and I, by nature, dead in sin, unworthy, sinful, wretched. And yet he has come to save us in Christ Jesus. Speaking thus, never vain or empty speech. Nothing about ourselves, for in ourselves there's much to lament, isn't it? But boasting in God as long as we live. In what kind of circumstances are we to bless the Lord at all times? His praise continually be on our lips. When we're afraid. When we're afraid. Boys and girls, when God came to Adam and Eve after they were hiding in the garden after their sins, Adam says, I was afraid because I was naked. Afraid because we know our own unworthiness. We know our sins, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And we know that sinful man that is within us. I am a sinner. So afraid because sins and sorry. Afraid about the circumstances that we live in. You're sick. You're waiting to hear from the doctor the verdict. What's wrong? Is it a sickness unto death? Worried maybe about unemployment. Or maybe worried about debts. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Or what about fears for our children or our teenagers? What's going to happen to them? Will they remain firm and steadfast in faith, or are they going to fall away and deny God? Afraid about trials that we have to go through. How many times in the Bible don't we read those words? They were greatly afraid, or they were sore afraid. Well, then come to God in prayer. Meet with God. Are you afraid? God is righteous and just, and we are so sinful. Psalm 18, verse 4. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid, says David. Or verse 6, afraid of the future. Stock markets, what's it going to do? The wars that are taking place all around the world and only increasing. Antichrist is going to come and there's going to be a time of great tribulation. Will I be found faithful? The psalmist says in Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or the words of the psalmist in Psalm 56 verse 1 or verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. How many times don't we find it in the scripture and how many times spoken by angels, be not afraid. Yes, the wicked have every reason to be afraid. For we read in this psalm, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Verse 16. And then verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked. They shall hate the righteous, shall be desolate. Yes, the wicked have every reason to be afraid, to fall in the hands of God who is a consuming fire. But do you and I have any reason to be afraid to come to God when we come in the name of Jesus, claiming what He has done for us? Perhaps you're afraid because in death your loved one was taken away. It's the last enemy that all of us must face. We read in verse 12, what man is he that desireth love and loveth many days that he may see good? Afraid of our own mortality. Afraid of the persecution that's taking place in many countries today. And that's going to increase with the tribulation. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The afflictions in our life. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Notice with me. Our circumstances do not define us. Rather, how we react in those circumstances. It's a powerful line. Your circumstances do not define you, but how do you react in those circumstances? If you're a single person, how do you react that God hasn't given someone to you in His providence yet? If you're married and there's some struggles in your life, some of you young mothers with babies in you for the first time, how's it going to go? Others of us who are getting older and we start feeling the aches of old age. You teenagers, what kind of work am I going to get into? Shall I go to college or not? Many home situations that you live in. Yes, there's joy at times, but there's also great sorrow at times. There's health at times, but there's also terrible sickness at times. Our circumstances do not define us, but rather how we react in them. Do we grumble and complain, or do we lift up our voice to our God who is in heaven and the angel of the Lord who is always near to us and rely on Him and call to Him for help? Do you see, beloved, why this psalm is so fitting for family visitation and why the elders have selected it? Each person, each family is going through various circumstances. And the psalm and the elders are able to take from this psalm to address all those that they're visiting with a word of comfort or encouragement or at times an admonition to trust in the Lord and fear not. For if God is for us, who can be against us? The beautiful doxology that begins all of our worship services. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Or from the book of Romans. God works all things together for good to them that love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Or Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. What a fitting psalm. Do you look forward to family visitation beginning this week? To receive from the elders, from the Word of God, assurance and comfort. The assurance that you're never alone. For verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about you and cares for you, delivers you. Treatments that you maybe have to undergo. Sickness that you're working with, a cancer in the body. You're not alone. The angel of the Lord is round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Either delivers them out of those trials or sicknesses, or delivers them by taking them home to heaven where there is no more sickness, where there are no more trials or afflictions or sorrow or death. You're not alone. Notice with me, thirdly then, the fruitful deliverance. Because that's what this psalm is all about. The Lord is near us and delivers us. That experience of the Lord being near us and helping us awakens in us the desire then to share it with all of God's people. That's what David does. Oh, taste and see with me that the Lord is good. Oh, fear him, seek him. What wonderful dividends there are in the service of God. Because he will reward us in his grace. Taste and see. Trust and you will be blessed. Fear and then you don't have to have any wants. Yes, verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord will not want any good thing. You see, God in Christ Jesus is the only thing that you or I really need. And without him, we have nothing but hell. Our love is not narrow. We want to share God's goodness with other children of God. And we want to share God's goodness to those that we work with or live around, that others may know too. Second of all, fruitful deliverance. Our deliverance tells us the way to real and abiding happiness. Notice, your happiness is not in things. The things of this world are not real. That is, they're not abiding. Our happiness is we're in God's hands. We're his children. He has delivered us from our sins and will deliver us from all the afflictions in this life. And it means then, beloved, negatively, that you hate evil. That you keep your lips and your tongues from the works of the devil. Oh no, we're never going to be perfect in this life. There's not a sinless existence for you and for me. But what's wonderful is we can go to the cross of Jesus Christ and there's forgiveness for our sins. And positively, you must love goodness. If you desire life and desire it for eternity, you must do good. Seek peace and pursue it, says David, as he's teaching these men in that cave. And that, beloved, both the negative and the positive, is possible because the Holy Spirit, by his word, guides us, makes us sorrowful for our sins and repentant. It is the fight of faith. By the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit, we mortify our sinful flesh, and we grow in thankful obedience. And thirdly, fruitful deliverance because we're able to bear our crosses. Whatever cross you or I are presently going through, we're able to bear them. Why? Verses 15 and 16. Notice, God's eyes are upon the righteous. God's ears are open to their cries. And while God's face is against the wicked, verse 18, he is near to them that are brokenhearted, and he saves those of a contrite spirit. How beautifully that letter from Zion brings out that 18th verse of this psalm. Thirdly, fruitful deliverance, glorious comfort for sorrowing saints on earth. By God's word and by God's spirit, we see our sin and our guilt. He makes us sorrowful for it. Sorrowful because we love God and therefore are remorseful. And then God hears our cries for mercy. And we have verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken spirit. Looking to Jesus Christ, Jesus who says, be of a good cheer, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Do you remember, boys and girls, that woman that was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus? What did he say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go sin no more. What beautiful music in that sinner's ears, and what beautiful music in your and my ears. We are able to bear our crosses. Our afflictions might be many, but we know that God is near us. We know that our sins are forgiven, our guilt is removed, and we sing songs of praise and thanksgiving. Oh, God's special care for his people. One more yet. Hang on, one more. The psalmist ends with it. Oh, the blessings that still await us. Shall we not also talk about that on house visitation? One day, we're all going to appear before God's great white throne. And God is going to show the glory of his work in you and in me. And all the universe is going to see it, that Jesus dwells in us. We who have trusted in God, we who have sought him and found him, and we will see the glorious face of God in Christ. And there will be no more sickness. No more trials or sorrows. No more temptations or death. We're saved. We're saved by God's grace. It's a beautiful hymn. Someday the silver cord will break. And I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story. Saved by grace. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We're thankful for this experience of David and what he found when he called upon his God. And we're thankful, Father, and we pray for the elders as they go on house visitation, that with the saints, the young and the old, we may rejoice and blend our voices in unison, blessing the Lord, speaking good things about our God and to our God continually. Amen.